We are going to be in conversation with Nick Zakos.
Hey, Nick.
Thanks for having me, guys.
He's the head of the City of Hudson Waterfront Advisory Committee and many other positions.
Well, he was recently appointed the... what was that job you were recently appointed?
I'm going to be the part-time director of the Department of Youth.
Mm. For the City of Hudson?
For the City of Hudson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah, I've been heading in there every day for the past few weeks.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You still got the Sloop Club going, even though you had a little setback recently?
We did have a significant setback, the fire down at the Riverloft building. We lost a lot of our club's possessions, equipment, materials. The Sloop Club is still in existence, and we're figuring out insurance and moving forward and spring. So there'll be news to come on how we're thinking of how we're planning on going forward and getting everything back together.
Yeah, you're sounding, you and the other parties involved in the building are sounding positive about the future. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and Ellen can't wait to get back out on the river.
Oh, yeah.
Take me to
the
river.
You have a jet ski, don't you?
A jet ski or a kayaker? I forget, Ellen. You're a kayaker, aren't you?
Oh, sure. Anyway, Nick and I are on a number of other committees together, it seems to me. We keep running into each other anyway.
We do.
And
small town.
I have noticed recently, and Tom is on some of these same committees as well.
Can't avoid you.
that there's a lot of activity and a lot of projects and some money involved, too, in projects mostly relating to the riverfront.
Yeah, sure.
And the riverfront in Hudson, I just want to point out, is, I think, the actual river shoreline is not all that big when compared to some other cities along the Hudson. We don't have enough room down there to do all the things, you know, we think we want to do, I think.
Sure, yeah.
But there is something
I think it's a mile or less of actual shoreline that Hudson, the City of Hudson owns. I'll have to double check that, but it's around a mile.
And is it really?
Yeah.
Is that like half of 2 miles altogether or 3 miles? I mean, if you put public and private together.
Well, no. I think the way to think about it is you look at the southern end, our waterfront starts at what they call the Black Bridge, which is just south of the point that they also is kind of colloquially known as East Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That little point right by the lighthouse that people go and fish at. So that Black Bridge right there, right around there, you've got the southern end of where the City of Hudson, where our line, actually the city line.
It's a city
is right
line
there.
That's determining.
We don't own
that.
We own the I think Colarusso owns that little point, East Jesus. Then there's the 4.4 acres. Mm-hmm. That our city attorney, I think 2 years ago, decided were actually ours, although mm-hmm. it's a dispute between originally Holcomb and the City of Hudson and now Colarusso and the City of Hudson. And then you have Colarusso's dock,
mm-hmm.
and they're the land that they own. And then you have our tiny little piece of the pie that the City of Hudson owns and has access to, which is from the edge of Colarusso's kind of wharf right there, jetty, all the way up to the Powerboat Association building.
It doesn't go beyond that, up under Promenade Hill? And
no. So then you have the Powerboat Association building they own. Then you have the state property.
State property, yeah.
That's the whole parking lot there by the state boat launch, up until the actual boat launch, heading north. And then as soon as you get past that, further north than that, you're back on Powerboat Association property, all the way up to the bridge that goes into Fergery and the shacks in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have city, it's not city-owned property per se. Maybe some of it is, some of it's state, but you have it's in our city limits for another few hundred feet going into North Bay.
That's
the landfill?
North Bay, right.
Oh. North Bay and the landfill and all of that is in, and then halfway through the landfill, you get into Greenport.
Okay.
So I think it's a mile or a little bit under over as you look at it. But
it's kind
again,
of chopped up.
Our little section that we have access to of actual river frontage is just between Colarusso and the
Powerboat
Association.
Yeah. That's right. So anyway, I tried to make a list of all the things that I think are happening at the moment.
Big list.
And you and I talked about how complicated in a way this is, but also and how these things relate to each other and how this puzzle has to somehow come together. So I just made a list. There's, of course, the Waterfront Advisory Committee that you head now, and that Tom and I
are
members of.
Yeah.
The Conservation Advisory Council, which is was appointed by, I guess, the Common Council. I don't know how the members were, how it was made up. But
yeah, that's an actual council. So that was everybody had to be voted on by the Common Council, I believe,
right,
on that one.
And they're undergoing an open space and natural resources inventory to begin with.
Very exciting, yeah.
And then there's the North Bay Project, which has been in the works for a number of years quietly that nobody knew about. And
yeah, they're a sneaky bunch at Columbia Land Conservancy.
It was turned over to the Columbia Land Conservancy at a certain point.
So that's they're moving along with that. Their RFPs are going out soon for consultants to advise on the, what are they calling it? I guess what the next stage would be is the, I should know this because I'm supposed
actual
to be
uses
helping out
of the space?
Yeah, it's the feasibility study.
What they can do on the landfill parts
and
the other?
Yeah, and just
and the fosters and all that?
Connecting down from the existing land conservancy up there, which comes just north of the landfill, and how that could connect into the towns. Charles Williams Park, down by the River Loft down there, where what the possibilities are and how they could kind of start to connect town to that great piece of conserved land up there.
Anyway, moving along, Promenade Hill handicapped ramp, it's, you know, also calls, I mean, it reminds us that we really need a feasibility study of Promenade Hill. I mean, Promenade Hill needs, it's an old historic piece of property given to the city by the original proprietors who founded the city of Hudson.
Right.
So it's very important. Then there's Carlo Russo, who, you know, a major player on the waterfront.
Of course, yeah.
And they want to improve, they say, the Hall Road that takes their stone from the quarry down to the waterfront.
Yeah.
I think we should leave that one off the agenda.
Okay. But also let me, we'll see. but recently it was discovered that there's a lot of gravel being taken down there. And
it was discovered? Interesting use of the passive voice, Ellen.
Well, the minute I said it, I read it on a popular blog.
Sure.
That is,
I did too. Yeah, I saw it actually
because
I walked my dog down there.
Popular blog?
Mm-hmm.
Popular with whom?
A lot of people.
Okay.
That's what makes it popular.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not totally up to date on what's happening with that on the road work that's happening right now. I believe that it was Amtrak or CSX that was doing some work on the road down there, and I think there still is a little debate about
who's
some aspects
it
of it. I think it was Amtrak. I think it's now clear that it was Amtrak.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, the construction equipment that I saw was all Amtrak down there. It had Amtrak stickers on the side.
I guess,
of it,
Ellen,
so
you weren't satisfied when I told you that on the phone the other day. You don't trust me anymore?
I trust you explicitly.
I had asked
most of the time.
I went to the source in these matters, and that is Craig Haig, our code enforcement officer, and asked him directly, and that was the answer.
Oh, good. So it was Amtrak.
Oh, good. I love it.
There's still some controversy around it, but I think that one's going to be a smaller issue than some of the other things coming.
Well,
up,
that
for sure.
Road that runs, it's on the riverside of the tracks.
Correct. Yeah.
I've walked that before,
sure.
Trespassing, I guess.
Well,
down to East Jesus.
They've allowed people. They haven't stopped people from walking on there.
Yeah.
That's true.
Traditionally, we've been allowed to go down there, and especially in light of now knowing that the city may and does own 4.4 acres down there, then all of a sudden you have an access issue to a navigable waterway, which right. no one has the rights to impede access to a navigable waterway. And if that's city owned, then there's a good argument that we have to be allowed to access that.
Right.
So
do you want to know why they're re-graveling that spot, Ellen?
If you know, we'd love to hear it.
Well, I happen to know that also. And it's because they're trying to bring in new railroad ties to replace the railroad ties.
Aha. Mm. Uh-huh.
That's the explanation.
A simple explanation.
Yeah, could have asked me.
People got all excited.
Didn't have to bother Mr. Zachos.
I mean, I did. Okay, then I don't know if you know this, that the Hawthorne Valley Association wants to open a sauerkraut factory.
I saw that in the grant announcements that New York State released, and there was a flurry of activity in my house, everybody trying to figure out what was the building
yeah.
that it was going to be happening in. And we went on Google Maps and tried to see what could possibly house that.
They have their eye on something. I hope it's not the Dunn Warehouse.
No, it's in the second ward. They made it clear that it was in the second ward. Our second ward aldermen don't know what building it's in, supposedly.
There are a number of industrial buildings in the northern part of the second ward.
There are.
I mean, granted, it's not going to be the Harney building, but there are some other ones there.
There are a few down there.
That are possibly.
Yeah.
And there's land, you know, that could even be developed, I suppose.
That's another one of those things. I mean, I think Hawthorne Valley does great stuff. I shop there. I love that we have them close by. But there would be another thing before companies are getting grants to do big construction projects.
I think
that would be great for the community to know what building it's going to be happening in, what's going to be happening there.
I think our intrepid reporter, Ellen Thurston, actually called Hawthorne Valley to get
an
answer. Did you get an answer, Ellen?
I didn't get an answer. No, I did not. Mm. It's a building on the waterfront, is all I was
They told. Said the waterfront.
Yeah.
They did. Okay. So you got that out of them.
Okay.
You know that big former church building there?
I guess I wouldn't call that on the waterfront, though.
Well.
Oh, on the top of the hill.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Maybe they didn't necessarily say waterfront.
Or maybe they meant our more
second
expansive.
Ward. I think second ward is.
Oh,
is
that building
where
has a commercial kitchen in it.
It does.
Yeah.
It's gone through a number of hands recently on, you know, businesses that didn't succeed there.
I mean, like the chocolatiers.
Yeah.
So it's been used for food.
Yeah.
I
remember when Colin Stair had his auctions there. Do you remember that?
I do.
Long before he had his building on Warren.
Interesting.
And then there's the building that burned, the Kite's Nest Sloop building site. And the community garden
was there. The community garden, too, yeah.
Did it destroy the garden in any way? Did the chemicals from the...
The Kite's Nest is going to be doing soil tests to see.
I would
but
think.
Certainly... there was a lot of runoff of
building stuff,
building material, and everything that went down into there, and that's the downhill side of the building. So I think they definitely need to check it out.
Has there been an update on possible causes of the fire?
I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah,
I spoke to state fire inspectors on the day of the day of the fire and went through everything that I knew, and Kaya did also.
Kaya Weidman, was she the?
She's the director.
Head director of Kite's Nest.
But I haven't heard anything yet.
Okay, moving along.
That's all you want to know about Kite's Nest? Are they starting to plan for what they're going to do next?
They are, and you guys should really have Kaya and Sarah on at some point.
They also
have a new educational director there who's an amazing woman, Zebby, and so there's a lot of changes going on there, and I bet Kaya would love to talk about what they are planning and moving forward, and because she is working hard on all of this stuff.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. I'm sorry, did you have other things? Okay. Stop me at any point.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
Then there are these other things that are in the works. The WIC Hotel in the former theater building of Stage Works. I should have put the Stage Works building here, except that seems to be a ways off.
Well, Nick and I were both at the same Economic Development Committee meeting the other week or night. I can't remember. They all blend together. And we had a report from Tom Rossi, who was one of the developers. Is it Tom or John?
Oh, that's the WIC.
I think it was Tom.
Tom.
At the WIC.
Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I was also saying that Stageworks.
Forget Stageworks. They're history.
No, they're not. They have a plan to build a theater right next door.
Yeah. Where next door?
That lot, empty lot right there to the right, if you're going down the street.
Next to their...
in between them and the residential building right next to them?
That? Yeah.
Yeah, lots of luck with that.
They want to build a little black box theater, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, do you want to hear about the WIC or not?
Sure.
Sorry.
Feel free to interrupt me. Why? I guess I'm nonplussed by the fact that you're asking for permission. Oh, please.
Ouch.
Please tell us.
So, Tom Rossi let us know. That, you know, they have done most of the demolition work. They found out they needed more of the roof repaired than they expected, but they had a contingency that encompassed that. What else? They're not quite on the original deadline of being open in May, but he did anticipate being open in the middle of the summer. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, and I think he was in negotiations or in talks with the city about the demolition of the
CAS factory, right?
Yeah.
Because it really does, where there's going to be a lot of windows, what you look at right now is a decrepit, crappy building. And it's not like they want the whole thing down. They would like a section of it at least down.
Well, so they can see the mountains and the river.
And more importantly, I think they said they were willing to contribute to its destruction.
Yeah.
Financially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. No, they're really good guys, those WIC hotel people.
Well, we'll see, you know.
Okay. So we've talked about the former CAS building.
You're just running through this list.
I am running through it.
Well, we didn't talk. I think we talked about that off air, though. I don't think that we were on air when we talked about the CAS building.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well
you attended an HTC meeting where things seemed to change course.
Yeah, you guys should definitely have somebody on from the HTC to explain some of those developments. I'm sure somebody would love to come and talk about it.
Get Don Moore.
But it was. There's an interesting turn of events that they're now looking at other options, it seems like, for the CAS building, and maybe they're not seeing as much as they want from the developers, supposedly. And so they were openly talking. Was that Tuesday that I went to that meeting?
They're talking about
turning the building into a parking lot. And using that as a revenue stream for HDC.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to want to park in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, I thought they were going to have covered parking.
Well, it would be covered because according to what they talked about. It wouldn't need much work to be able to have cars pull in there, and then they could collect rent like the Amtrak does, and they could have a steady. From what I understood of the meeting, it could be a steady income stream for HDC, which is something they're looking for.
Hmm.
Oh yeah.
So that was the latest from the HDC. But that would be good to invite Don or somebody else on so they could explain some of that because they're
explain yourself.
I don't want to do it because I'm not a member of that organization.
Right.
But it'd be good to hear more about.
Yeah. How does one become a member of that organization? One wonders. I know there's somebody who doesn't even live in Hudson on that.
They
board.
Elect. I think they elect their own.
They do.
Members.
Well, there are some ex officio members, but. The rest are elected.
And they're quite clear that they maintain that they're their own private nonprofit. That even though in some ways they were created by the city and do serve some city functions, they're their own organization.
All
but
right,
that's
now,
another point of clarification that we
now
need.
I'm going to give my little lecture about quangos.
Okay.
In the UK, they're called quangos, quasi-autonomous nonprofit organizations. That are created by government, and then they're sort of spun off to
right.
do.
Did you pick that up watching Downton Abbey?
No.
I knew this long ago.
And
because you know, I hate British TV.
Well, it isn't where I picked it up, so you're going to love hearing the explanation. I worked for the state for a state agency that also had these quangos.
Okay,
it's always problematic.
Yeah,
because. When they do something that the lead agency, so to speak, doesn't like, they say, well, we're a nonprofit and we can do whatever we want. Or we're a separate body from you, so we can do whatever we want.
Right.
And then the lead agency says, but we give you money. Therefore,
right.
we have control over you. No,
right.
you don't have control over us because, you know, we have a board of directors and blah, blah, blah. It goes back and forth a lot of the time.
Right. I think that similarly happens here in the Hudson.
Yeah. In fact, if we have that kind of money available to run an HDC. We should actually have a city planner, and it should be all done through government.
That's a good, a very good point.
A city planner, right? What an amazing thing for this city to have a planner. That would be
and
really
it would be funded through the same kind of projects.
Sure, sure.
That's what we need.
Accountability.
For everybody out there thinking about government office this fall, a city planner.
Good idea.
You're
all right. We've solved all the problems. With
really?
That.
We've gone through your whole list?
No, no, not
even
yet.
Close.
Then there are these other players. There's the old
players.
Players.
You call
the
them players.
Players. Yes. The or chess pieces you can move around.
In a big chess game.
The,
yeah.
The LB building, the former chair factory.
Yeah.
Which is now populated, well, not entirely. I guess there's still a lot of empty
space
in the building.
Left.
But there are businesses and a gym and a famous gym. And
she just says, because I got it. I made it famous.
He's making it more famous every day. At any rate, there's a group of antique dealers and galleries now.
Dozens at this point. Mm-hmm.
They call themselves the Riverfront Antiques and Design Center, or RADC.
You know, I go down there every day pretty much, and I walk through the area to get, because there's like just one big bathroom. And to get there, you have to go through a lot of the antiques, and it's changing constantly.
It's amazing.
Like one day there's a big empty space, next day there's a full space. It's just amazing.
Huh.
A considerable part of the world's antiques must be under that roof these days.
I think so. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Tom, we just heard a chuckle from Tom, Robert Tomlinson, who's sitting over.
Tom Robinson. That's
yeah,
this is
right.
Good.
He must get that a lot.
Explain who he is, Ellen.
He is a new programmer who's going to be operating from Green. Would you like
from
to
Green.
Come in? From Green County.
Let me explain that a little better, okay? You mind? You won't be insulted?
No,
I thought you did a great
all.
Job explaining that.
He came here to learn from the best how to run an afternoon show.
At least one of the best.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, suck up
heavy
down.
On the charm here. So my current program is called Purple House, a monthly forum for the arts in Greene County. So you're right, it is green with an E. The next thing, though, I'm going to be doing the Wednesday afternoon show starting February 14th, Tuesdays from 4 to 6.
Okay. Any special plans for your show?
I'm hoping Ellen is going to come on.
Just Ellen?
Well, we'll see. We'll
ouch.
See. I'm making
ouch.
Notes. Well, let me see if Nick's available.
Guess what? I don't give a damn about Queen County, okay? I don't even visit my friends there anymore after today.
Thank you for inviting me to speak. Thank you.
Feel free to interrupt at any time. It happens here frequently.
He must think you're real important here. She is, of course. She could kick me off at any time.
Well... Yeah, I could write a schedule without you in it, I guess.
That would do it.
Okay, enough about us.
Enough tomfoolery, as you will.
Yeah,
if you will.
Because we have to get the heart of this discussion. We can't even get through the list. The Basilica Hudson is there, of course.
And, of course, yeah.
And with, I think, thoughts of expansion or landscaping.
That's what
I've
heard.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard the same.
That the lot to the south that they own, they would like to put another building.
Really?
Was hinted at one point to
really?
Me, yes.
And I think I myself believe there's already a great need to expand Front Street to improve it, and the way the tracks
very confusing
are configured.
Down there.
Yeah, it's
tell them about your
good.
Night of terror, Ellen.
Well, I'm not going.
Why?
I had a
don't
little,
make her relive it. We don't
I had
wanna,
a little
we
fender
don't...
bender, except it was my fender.
Oh.
And
CSX bender.
Yeah, right. Anyway, no, the lighting down there, the street lights are not adequate anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
There's more traffic there than one would think. So,
sure.
Anyway, so that's that. And CSX, I've heard, may be moving, or that the...
Well, their little brick building that they own in the that kind of gravel parking lot adjacent to the Kaz warehouse. That was another one of the reasons that the HDC gave for starting to weigh all their other options is that's a big unknown, the CSX building. Can they get that from CSX? CSX apparently is very hard to get a hold of. They had to get Chuck Schumer into town a few weeks ago just to get him on the phone.
Yeah.
So...
I remember when that building was built, and there was, of course, it's Hudson. You would expect this. There was a big controversy about it.
What was the story behind that? I've heard this story. It's a good one.
They had this sort of decrepit, it was either a little shack, or it might have even been something on wheels. It was blue and white, like all CSX. You know, they had their logo all over it, and it was really awful looking, according to some people here in Hudson.
Sure.
And they wanted to move. I think maybe they traded a piece of land, or they had paid perhaps a fee to the city of Hudson for parking on our land. At any rate, we had to convince them that they should, you know, make it, let it fit in with the rest of the buildings around it. And so they finally built a brick building, which was, you know, something they never did.
Right.
And there's that big crane sitting down there, a big antique piece of machinery.
Yeah, the boom crane, they call it.
Yeah, and they were going to get rid of that, and everybody said, oh, no, no, you can't get rid of the crane. It's a beautiful crane. So anyway, that's just a little background on CSX.
Yeah.
And their dealings with the city. Promise Neighborhood is going to be building a building someplace?
I believe they, Tom can update us more, I believe they retracted that plan from the,
yeah,
from the planning board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. They lost, they didn't get to buy the building they were seeking to buy.
Oh, I see. But they have
a ruthless developer came in. I don't know who the guy is. I just made that part up. But somebody else bought it.
But that brings up an interesting conversation that people have been just kind of starting to chat about. Here we have Promise Neighborhoods, just a really amazing organization in town, serving a lot of kids, serving a lot of families. They're looking for a home. Kites Nest, the Sloop Club have now had this this fire. Kites Nest lost that building. The Youth Center, for anybody who knows it, has been a great space for years, but it's that building is really old. And the upkeep on that going forward is just going to be tremendous. And so all of a sudden you have a lot of kind of educational organizations.
Looking for a place.
For a place. So thinking about different possibilities in terms of what buildings could house multiple ones of these organizations. You could really start to collaborate.
Or properties.
Or properties, yeah. John L. Edwards is going to be on the market soon.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so there's all kinds of interesting possibilities out there for Hudson, which could be really exciting.
So that's kind of what I was getting to in all of this, because I think it's really a time when there's a lot of ferment. Is that the word I'm searching for?
Sure.
That's a good word, right? We'll take that. And I think it's exciting. And it's partly because there are all these new organizations like Kites Nest and Sloop Club and Promise Neighborhood that are there in place that weren't before.
You know, until now, anarchy has worked pretty well, the chaos system of development here.
Yeah,
but I think it's time we kind of like get a little bit more of a handle on things, because we're so limited in space and groups and all kinds of things that we need to plan a little better. You know what I mean? Maybe not. Maybe.
Well,
back to a city planner. Yeah. And it all comes back to a city planner.
That's why I'm kind of disturbed about, I shouldn't say disturbed, but puzzled about HDC and what they're trying to do. I mean, they acquire property, or it is given to them in a sense, because it's, I think the CAS building came to the city
as a donation from Mr. Kaz Minsky, whatever his name was.
But it was part of a deal, I think, because he had an IDA loan.
He also didn't want to continue
to pay taxes on the building.
Yeah.
That's right. So
they paid the remainder of the pilot or something like that?
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And what was the city going to do with it? City doesn't have a planner to figure out what to do with it, or any department that could handle it. So,
right. And that's one of the
reasons
the vacuum that HDC moves into.
Right. But that's also why they're there and why the city put them in.
Right.
You know, it's actually they're actually an outgrowth of HCDPA, I learned recently.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah. No.
Tom, can you tell us a little bit? This is something that a lot of people have been asking about in relation to HDC and its relation to the city, about the IDA. And traditionally what the IDA, what role does that play for another community? For us, we know it doesn't, we don't hear about it a lot.
It was inactive, pretty much. And in fact, at one point, the state suggested, after they looked it over, saying closing it down.
I'm sorry, Tom, but it's okay. Want to interrupt you.
You might as well interrupt me. I always interrupt you.
That's right.
It better be good, though.
It's going to be. I know it's going to be.
Stop talking, because now I've forgotten what I was going to say.
IDA.
No, the IDA, city IDA, was going to merge with the county IDA at 1.2.
Okay. Thank you. The HCCPA.
Good point, Emma.
They both have very precise missions. HCDPA is about housing. The IDA is about industrial development, the ID. Right. The reason we continue to exist, I serve on it, was we sort of revived for this WIC project, because we get a percentage of the payment made for in return for the pilot. But we negotiated, I think, a very good pilot, not one of these you don't have to pay any taxes for 10 years. You know, they're going to be up to snuff paying full load pretty quickly.
Okay.
And the other really important thing is, the only reason I don't think we should get rid of it is because if we don't, the county steps in and makes our decision instead. They could be giving an IDA to a Hudson property, and we'd be left out in the cold on the whole decision, which is outrageous. You know,
really want to
from that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. let me explain to our listening audience, if I may, what a pilot is.
A payment in lieu of taxes.
And it is, in a sense, a tax incentive program, because
it gets you through the early years when you're not bringing in the expected amount of revenue yet, and you're trying to get up to snuff.
Right.
But you don't get it unless you're actually employing people. And, you know, WIC has promised to employ 12 people, which is a lot in Hudson, you know, full-time jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, so in other words, if you're out there, because I know recently, I don't know if it was a restaurant or a hotel, something came looking for one, and it just wasn't going to happen, because they weren't really planning on employing much of anything.
I know a lot of them in the past have, like, not made their payments or didn't produce as many jobs as they thought they were going to.
Well, you can always call it back.
Yeah.
It's not a permanent thing that you just, like, are stuck no matter what.
Well, then there's the Dunn Warehouse, which is the biggest big brick building down there on the waterfront.
Now it is.
Yeah.
Now it is.
It is.
Well,
it really is the last. Yeah.
It's last. So what do we do with all this? I mean...
Well, Nick has been to HDC meetings and Economic Development Committee meetings where everybody just seems in a rush. You know, they see a building or a property, whatever, like the CAS building, that they see a possibility for income, and they want to push it quickly. And I think we or you or whoever...
There are a lot of us, yeah.
Would like to see these things thought through a little bit more.
As I've learned more about the LWRP over the past few years and kind of understood more about that program, that's what really has brought me to the place that I really want to advocate for the city to engage in that process.
And for those of our numerous, numerous listeners who don't know what a LWRP, it's a local waterfront revitalization plan. And we won't go into the whole details, but it's a very important thing to get approved by the state, because it puts you in line for lots of state goodies.
Yeah.
As in money.
And allows us to create regulations and zoning for the city, environmental zoning. I mean, all kinds of stuff that we can develop and say, this is what we want for our community. And once it does get approved by the state, they say, they'll back us up, even to the law. And so it is a really powerful document. And like Tom said, the funding opportunities are really significant once it's approved through the state. Most communities up and down the river and that can apply for it, which are coastal communities in New York State, they've already done it. They did it years ago. And so we're behind a little bit for not having it. But it's worth doing, and it seems like it's worth doing the right way, and it's worth not putting anything in its way. And I think that's the big thing that I've been advocating for about the Dunn Warehouse is, yes, we do want to see the Dunn Warehouse fixed up. We do want to get it going again. But we want to make sure we keep the options open and we allow the planning process to have the community involved in it, which is what the LWRP is all about. It's about a kind of community process of planning out what everybody wants to see at their waterfront and how they want to see it happen.
I mean, if I lived in the second ward and was just hearing about all these things, my head would be spinning and I would be worrying, I think, about what's going to happen.
Well, Ellen, you know, one of the things
maybe for good reason.
A lot of our a lot of our local politicians think in terms, there are two things. It's one thing about creating an income, a non-tax income stream, which is a great thing if you can do it, because you don't want to obviously raise taxes if you don't have to. So that's one way they're thinking. The short-term and lesser way of thinking is outright sales of things, because those are short. Those just like give you one big infusion of cash and then it's gone. So it's not to say we want to rule out that it should be ruled out that you have something that could create a stream for the city. That's a great idea.
Definitely.
But you know, you have to think that through pretty carefully.
Well, I'd like to see a great big map unrolled in front of an audience. Show them all this.
You should have been at ACDPA today, because we have down there. You can go look at it. They had a map created that is awesome.
Really?
It's really good. You can see everything. It spreads out. It has to be printed on two huge sheets of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see everything. And Sheena, who runs HDC, Sheena Salvino, for our purposes, had color coded certain things related to this map. I won't go into what they were, but so you could see like who owns this amount of properties, which agency owns these properties. It's an amazing thing, and it really gives you a sense of what the potential is here in the city, where there is empty property, where there is developable property, things like that.
I'm glad to hear that she did that. We did a map, I don't know what year it was. It was quite a while ago, just before or just after, I think, the Galvan people were here and buying up a lot of property and scaring everybody.
Still are.
And still are.
Yes.
Not necessarily scaring everybody, but still buying up property. But
yeah, one of the colors on this map was Galvan-owned. Or it's not just Galvan. There's multiple entities encompassed by that. But that was one of the color codes.
Right.
Not as huge
owned but undeveloped, maybe. But
Ellen. They're developing them. Stop. You know, you're stuck in an old narrative. Say it in a trendy way.
We developed a map that showed all the projects that were even just being talked about or actually being happening, and it was called Hudson is Changing. And our thought was that we would go to each ward and have a meeting and say, this is what seems to be planned for this ward. What do you think about it? We never got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But
what happened?
There's got to be a way.
What happened?
Nothing.
I mean, how come you didn't get to that point?
Because we didn't have a really good organization. It's called Columbia County Futures. I mean, what we did was get around a table about once a month and talk for a long time.
Mm. Yeah, people don't mind doing that here.
That could be the kind of thing that a city planner would really help out
with. I think we're... How are we? What are we going to do with all this, Nick?
I want to just quickly... I mean, this is a good... It's a good question. There's a lot. There's a lot going on. And I want to go back to the Dunn Warehouse for one minute, because we started that, and I just think that's such an important thing. And to take it back to this committee that we're all on, the Waterfront Committee, that was kind of started by a group of citizens, and when we asked the mayor to reenact this Waterfront Committee, our impetus was really thinking about the Dunn Warehouse and worrying that a developer could come in and kind of just grab that away from the city that really doesn't have a plan for it.
They were talking about that.
They were talking.
They even put up. They even put out a show of pictures that were just like, "What were you thinking?" You know, they actually
that was the Saratoga or the
I forget who it was.
I think it was Saratoga Associates that did the feasibility study.
Yeah, it was just like no.
I felt the same way about that. And so now, this is the worrying thing is in the hopes of kind of getting things moving. There's talk of putting together an RFP. To hire developers, to have a developer come in and propose what they want to do. And I've been a big advocate as the head of the waterfront committee to really integrate that process into the LWRP and to not rush to let developers tell us what we want to do with our kind of the last remaining structure at the waterfront. And Rick Rector, head of economic development, has now also kind of seen and asked to slow down the process.
Right.
But we've had some hiccups in that we know now that the grant that we applied for the $500,000
to
restore New York to upkeep the building actually had a caveat in the grant language that mandated that it be a municipal it cannot be a municipal building getting revamped for another municipal use. It's required that it gets turned into a commercial use.
Mean we'd have to forfeit ownership?
I don't know if it means we would have to forfeit ownership, but it means typically the Restore New York grants are done in partnership with an actual developer and a specific development project. And so I guess this is a rare Restore New York grant that doesn't have that. But the language, I pulled it up right here because I was talking about it. This is in the guidelines for that grant, is that rehabilitation of municipal buildings and properties for municipal reuse is not eligible for Restore New York funding. And very few of us who were in support of this grant knew that. And I'm one of them, and I wrote a letter of support for this grant.
We haven't gotten it yet, right?
We haven't gotten it yet. It's still out there. Yeah. But I didn't know this at the time that I wrote the letter of support, and a lot of other people didn't either. So that's a worrying development.
My thought is that it may be that what they want, what the grant people want, is to know how that you're far enough along with the project. In other words, there is a developer and outside money, private money coming into it. It's at a point where it could get this boost from the state and really move forward.
Right.
I don't know what the language of the grant is, but sometimes that's why they want to see it more than a plan. They want to see that you've gotten to a certain point.
Right.
So.
Well, it'll be good to investigate that more, and we'll be definitely looking into that.
Oh, the other thing is that I put on the list is that the Bronson House.
Oh yeah.
On the grounds of the correctional facility, is proposing that certain property be turned into a park surrounding that house.
That's exciting. So yeah.
That would be right in Tom's neighborhood.
That would be terrible. I don't want to look out my porch and see people. Not in my neighborhood. No, I'm kidding.
Not in my backyard.
Oh, that's what
or
I meant.
Not in my front yard.
Can I ask you one other question that's not on the list real quick, Tom, in
terms of I was hoping it was for Ellen, but go ahead.
Well, we can talk to Ellen about it too. But in terms of you being on HCDPA, one of the biggest issues I think that we're dealing with in town is affordable housing. And we're seeing families who've lived here their lives for generations. Mm-hmm. Not being able to afford to live here.
Right.
Young people wanting to move to Hudson, not being able to afford to move here. And I don't see it even going, I don't see it slowing down at all. I see it going in the opposite direction.
That is all we talked about at today's meeting. That's all we talked about.
That's great.
And I think we're all on the same page that we want to figure out how to get more housing, who to work with.
Right.
HDCPA, actually, I can't remember, it's HDCPA.
HCDPA, yeah.
Actually owns some properties right near the Kite's Nest former Kite's Nest building in that area.
Yeah.
And I suggested today that all the groups interested in that little area should sort of work together and maybe develop something together.
Yeah.
That, say, for example, the people who are involved with Kite's Nest who need that kind of lower income housing would have it right there as part of the project.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're thinking that direction. We're applying for various grants. We're defining that area as kind of the area where we can find most of any bigger projects. Smaller projects, we're constantly thinking about scattered housing throughout the city. But as you know, there's not a lot of places to put stuff.
Left, yeah.
One of the things we'll work with.
The alleys.
One of the things we'll work with is possible properties that have gone into foreclosure, things like that. You know, places that we can renovate.
Yep.
Thank goodness Habitat is finally now thinking that way instead of just always building a new building.
Right.
They're now finally on board with renovating existing buildings.
That's great.
You can see that. They did a big project in Albany in that way. So that has really become defined as our total agenda. I mean, I don't think we talked. other than our own lack of finance, financing in our, for the HCDPA, that's all we've done about. So it's really, you know, we want to do something.
That's good.
Great. Exciting. Good to hear. Well,
the hour's up?
Not quite.
No, we got a minute or two.
Okay.
So how are you going to handle all this? Well, we're looking to you to.
I'm most interested in what he's going to be doing as a youth director, assistant. What's your title again?
It's the part-time director of the youth department, which they haven't had that role. And
you're
so
going to be more the accountability type of guy doing
administrative accountability,
grant proposals.
Exactly.
Are you going to try to renovate that building, or are you going to look more towards getting something new going?
It's hard. There's a lot of people who have a lot of history in that building, and
it's
really
from the outside it's pretty, but I know inside it's a mess.
We would need some real. I wouldn't call it a mess. It's been neglected for a long time.
I think there are structural problems with the roof.
Do you play hoops there, Alan?
No, but I've heard this discussion many times before.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I got Nick to do it too, making up stuff.
What did you say?
I'm not
listening.
He saw you playing dodgeball there.
So that's your tactic. You just block it all out.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
What
it's
did you say? What?
Dodgeball. We played dodgeball together at the youth center, right? You and I? But that building's a big question.
Yeah.
Whether that building can continue to be the a place without having just a huge amount of money poured into it year after year after year.
Anyway, we've been talking for the last hour to Nick Zakos, who wears many hats here in the city of Hudson, all of them colorful and important.
He wears them well.
He wears them well.
A real hat wearer.
A real hat wearer. And I think we've solved most of Hudson's problems.
I think we're in good shape.
We're all in agreement that we should have a city planning department. Mm-hmm.
One thing that I was just thinking about as we were looking over all of these things and what you were kind of getting at, Ellen, about this being an exciting time with a lot of new things that I keep remembering time to time, is that I think that some of this is for a reason, that we do have all of these opportunities in front of us right now. And I think we forget at times that over the past year and a half, we've had a mayor who's actually allowed a lot of this stuff to come up and brought a lot of this stuff forward.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that
it's a different atmosphere.
It's a very different atmosphere. And I think that we should thank Tiffany for what she's been doing. And remember that even though there are these problems, there's so many new opportunities and new things that we can look at that we didn't. It seems like we weren't able to before. And now we've got things moving forward. And I think she's a big reason for a lot of that. So
that's
I want
right.
to continue to
Thank
remember
you for saying that.
That she's doing all this for us. But yeah, that was one little wrap up that I was thinking about as we were looking at the big list.
You're looking for another city job?
I've got enough. I could trade a few to some other people if they wanted some.
Excuse me.
No, but I'm very excited to be working at the youth department. Just being there for the past 2 weeks, there's a lot
That's
of
great.
Work to be done, but it's such an amazing resource for
One thing
so
I didn't
many
understand.
People in
now,
town.
Now, Tyrone Hedgepath is still part of the
still with us.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep, we're refiguring everything out because it's in the past they've just kind of thrown positions willy nilly all over the place, and so we're trying to really structure it in a way that focuses on getting everybody into the place where they're kind of skills are utilized and put in the right place, and so we're. But Tyrone is a huge part of the youth center, and it's really amazing seeing him working with the kids and the way that these kids look at him. He's totally irreplaceable. He's an amazing.
He's a great guy.
He's an amazing character.
And your position basically had been unfunded at one point, isn't that sort of?
Yeah, we haven't had a director for years. Okay. It seems like.
So it's not like you took a job away from someone else or anything.
No,
like that.
No, okay. It was a new job that they put in there to try to fill some of these holes that have been there. Dick Donovan, he's another great guy who's been working there. Ken Hollenbeck is the commissioner, and we've got an amazing staff. I didn't know what the staff was going to be like. It's incredible people. They're all like really great folks who are committed to the kids there and have amazing relationships. These kids come in, basketball, playing games, just hanging out with their friends on the computer, getting meals cooked for them. It's a great service. I didn't fully understand everything that it did for the community.
I think the summer program is a big challenge, however.
Summer program is a big challenge. Just thinking about the logistics of it, we I think when I was looking at some of the spreadsheets, we're going to be looking at hiring on 40 more people in addition to the 13 that we already have. It's I think in the summer we probably become the largest department in the city government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lifeguards and all that.
Thinking about all those kids in the water, mm-hmm. that's a huge issue. So we really have to, we're taking a lot of that seriously, and it's going to take a lot of planning to get everything together.
You have to worry about, you have to remember to deal with all the weeds that grow in the pond.
That's,
and there was some chemical that they were putting in it and in the water, and people didn't like that very much. So they had some other plan. And there's someplace a newspaper article and a photograph of Mike O'Hara in the water.
Really?
Yes.
I want to dig that up.
Pulling out weeds.
That's a good on him.
Good on him.
Well, anyway. Nick, hate to see you go, but we do have another guest coming in.
Oh, I've got to run, too. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, okay.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about anytime, Ellen.
Well, maybe next week you're gone.
When I'm gone,
You want to come be the co-host?
Let's see. I've got to see which hat I have on that week for the city.
For those wondering, I just want everybody to know I'm going to be under the knife. I've always wanted to say that. I'm going under the knife.
Ooh.
Actually, I don't know if there's a knife, but... And my gallbladder removed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, he's impressed. He's like, oh, that's, yeah.
Well, that'll be the next program after next week when Tom comes to tell us his experience with.
Yeah, it's probably going to be not much of a thing. It's an outpatient thing these days, so I'm not too worried about it.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank you, Nicholas and Zachos.
I'll see you both soon.
Yes, you
will. Bye-bye.